Amidst all the drama, we cannot forget the basic rules in place regarding this 49ers situation with Brandon Ayuk. And that is, San Francisco is incentivized to force the issue with Ayuk, and it appears that is exactly what they're doing. That is why all of this information that's come out over the past 4 days has come out now. Really, 4 months after the fact, after the initial voidance of guarantees in July of 2025. But Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, he was on the pregame show yesterday, and he said a couple things. He said, quote, Ayuk got the fines because he wasn't doing what he needed to do with his rehab back in camp. That essentially verified what we had heard from Mike Silver and Diana Russini on Friday. But more interestingly, and also something that seemed to echo what we had heard from Mike Garofalo a little bit earlier in the day, Jay Glazer said, quote, if Brandon Ayuk tries to do what he needs to do to get back with the team, they're going to love to have him. It's up to Brandon. So obviously, there is a rift between the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk. Kyle Shanahan, I think, was clear about that, saying that he hadn't been in good contact with Brandon Ayuk. We haven't seen Brandon at practice over the course of the last couple of months. He has been in the facility, but he's not been doing his rehab in the big spotlight for the 49ers. Amidst all that, I go back to what I said at the very start here. Brandon Ayuk is under contract through 2028, so he's still under contract for several seasons with the 49ers. He's not far from being cleared. Maybe it's even going to happen very, very soon. And if he is cleared, he is going to have to participate to be paid. The 49ers are incentivized to force this issue one way or the other. And I think it's becoming increasingly clear that the flow of this information over the course of the past 4 days is happening because we are reaching that inflection point. It just so happens that we're almost exactly a year removed from Brandon Ayuk's surgery to repair the 3 torn ligaments in his leg. It was confirmed by Jay Glazer that the 49ers voided the guarantees back in July because of an issue with rehab. And according to Mike Silver and Diana Russini, it had to do with missed meetings. That could all be one and the same. That can fit under the same Venn diagram. Obviously, both of the reasons given were a little bit vague. But the 49ers have repeatedly said over the course of the past few weeks that Ayuk is getting closer and closer to being cleared. At some point, the 49ers, if they do want to force this issue, can open up Brandon Ayuk's practice window and say, show up. Start practicing, start living up to your contract. And if you don't, then they can take money away from Brandon Ayuk. They're protected contractually. They were protected contractually enough to void the 2026 guarantees, 27 million of them. I can guarantee you that they're also protected contractually enough to be able to get even more money back for 2025 if Brandon Ayuk does not participate when he is cleared to do so. To me, it's all being set up right now for that potential showdown to happen. So the ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court. We can get our popcorn out. We can sit and we can watch. I don't know if the 49ers open the practice window as soon as this week. He actually has to be cleared for them to open the practice window. That is a 21-day thing, but it could obviously close at any point if you want to just toss a player on injured reserve or if you want to activate him to the 53-man roster. I think people need to remember a couple things. A, Brandon Ayuk was an absolutely sensational player in 2023, and he earned the deal that he got from the 49ers in 2024. So the 49ers would obviously like to have, even if it's 80% of the 2023 Brandon Ayuk, that would benefit Kyle Shanahan. That's why Kyle wants Brandon out on the field. The other thing to remember is that the 49ers are in a tight salary cap situation. They've paid a lot of guys a lot of money, including Brandon Ayuk, despite the fact they were able to void the 2026 guarantees, $27 million of full guarantees. Brandon Ayuk still has brought home, or is scheduled to bring home, $49 million over 2024 and 2025. Every million here counts, and if these are unproductive dollars, if these are inefficient dollars, then it stands to reason that the 49ers will want to protect themselves as a business in a salary cap league and rectify things to make matters as financially efficient as possible. So they were able to do that with the guarantees for 2026. And if Brandon Ayuk is cleared and doesn't participate in 2025, they'll be able to do even more of that. So it all sets up an interesting showdown, or just examination of how big is this rift between Ayuk and the 49ers. The contractual process, the negotiation process in 2024 seemed toxic. It was acrimonious at best, toxic at worst, but it seemed to just devolve and get worse and worse and worse. This was not the Nick Bosa negotiation. This was not the Deebo Samuel negotiation. I know that the Deebo Samuel one had some more fireworks. I know that the Nick Bosa one lasted forever and had a holdout. But this one was in everyone's face in a way that those other negotiations weren't. And I know that Kyle Shanahan didn't appreciate it. I know that the 49ers contract people did not appreciate it. And I do seem to sense that it carried over after the deal was signed. I mean, normally these things can be 15-round, drag-it-out prize fights, but you sign the contract, everybody shakes hands, and everybody moves on and mends the relationship, mends whatever might have been broken over the course of the drag-it-out negotiation. In the case of Brandon Ayuk, it was only a few weeks later where the red shorts incident happened on the field. The play obviously never returned to 2023 standard. And by week 7, Brandon Ayuk shredded the 3 ligaments in his knee, and we haven't seen him on the field since. The fact that this was so acrimonious before the contract was signed didn't seem to fully repair itself after the deal was signed. I would not be surprised if there are people in the 49ers organization that feel burned by all this, regretful about the deal soon after it was inked, because the 49ers were in a desperate mentality at the time. They wanted to run back their 2023 success, and Ayuk sitting on a contract that they had on the table for 3+ weeks was standing in the way. 49ers would not be wrong to feel burned by that whole situation, and the 49ers would not be wrong to protect themselves contractually as much as possible moving forward. And in some cases, that might mean recouping money. They've already done that through the recouping of the $27 million full guarantee for 2026. Who's to say that they shouldn't force the issue for 2025. Again, as Jay Glazer said, the ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court. The exact quote from Jay Glazer is right here. He said that he got the fines because he wasn't doing what he needed to do with his rehab back in camp. And if Brandon Ayuk tries to do what he needs to do to get back with the team, they're going to love to have him back. It is up to Brandon. Again, that echoes everything that Kyle Shanahan also said the other day. And it really is a corroboration of what we heard from both Shanahan and Lynch over the course of the past weeks, maybe even months. Last saw Brandon Ayuk out on that field around September 17th when he was moving quickly, working not really off to the side. He was on the field, but he obviously wasn't practicing. He was running the drills to warm up behind the 49ers wide receivers. Here's the contractual situation for Brandon Ayuk. I think what we need to keep everything in this big picture perspective. I think that helps illustrate things the best. The red circle shows the guaranteed money that the 49ers axed out of this contract in 2026. That's no longer guaranteed. However, the rest of this structure is still there. Although the guarantees are gone, the structure is still there in that he's under contract for 2026, he's under contract for 2027, he's under contract for 2028. I will explain how these deals work very briefly for those of you who are new to this, but base salary here in the first column is very often in these big deals slashed down to the league minimum. So as you can see here in 2025 and 2026, it is the veteran league minimum, $1.17 million and $1.215 million. The reason that teams do that is because they can actually spread salary cap hits into the future. They can do it like stretching an accordion by giving out signing bonuses and option bonuses. So what they do is they convert the base salary from that regular they call it paragraph five salary, into either a signing bonus at the time that the deal is executed or an option bonus in subsequent years. So that's the way that the 49ers have structured this Brandon Ayuk deal. You got a signing bonus of around, I think, $22 million up front, and that stretches out into, I think, $4.6 million per year over up to 5 years. It stretches out like that accordion against the salary cap. That's why you could see signing and option bonus proration in these two columns. And then in 2025, another signing slash option bonus kicked in, this one worth about $24.9 million. Actually, this one might have been 23. It's all these bonuses are between 22 and 25 million for Brandon Ayuk. I don't have it in front of me. I'd have to do a lot of math on the fly right here as I'm explaining this. But 2024 saw a signing bonus. 2025 saw the majority of pay come through an option bonus that prorated the same way as the signing bonus. And 2026, by September 1st, the 49ers have to pay what I believe is $24.9 million. As an option bonus. Up until July, that $24.9 million had been fully guaranteed, so they were going to have to pay it no matter what. Now it's not, which makes Ayuk theoretically more tradable, definitely more cuttable. So they can move on definitely after this season without any added penalty. They've already paid the signing and the option bonus money. It's prorated. It would accelerate to hit the cap. They can release him post June 1st, but I think that's neither here nor there right now. I think that everybody was talking about that a couple days ago because the 49ers got a lot of flexibility to potentially get out from under this contract after 2025. But I'm here to talk about 2025. I'm here to talk about the fact that Ayuk is under contract for this season and then beyond this season. And I'm here to talk about the fact that the 49ers have obviously released this information for a reason. 4 months after the contract was voided. And it makes all the sense in the world for them to force an issue, for them to tell Brandon Ayuk, all right, you know, we're not going to sit here and wait for you to rehab forever. If our doctors are clearing you from this knee injury, and we're now in that 12 to 18 month window, we want to see you out on that practice field. And if we're not seeing you out on that practice field, then we're going to have to involve more lawyers. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has already talked about lawyers being involved back in July. So this is my read on the situation. I do think after hearing from Garofalo, after hearing from Jay Glazer, after hearing from Kyle Shanahan, after seeing how this has all trickled out over the past 4 days, it does seem that we are nearing the crossroads of Brandon Ayuk. Ball is in your court. What is going to happen next? So that's your Monday morning update. That's your Monday morning Brandon Ayuk drama ahead of 49ers Panthers. Massive swing Monday night football coming up tonight. San Francisco, if they win this game, will have an 89% probability to qualify for the NFC playoffs. If the 49ers lose this game to the Panthers, they will have only a 62% probability to make the playoffs. So this is massive swing Monday night football. The 49ers yesterday watched the Los Angeles Rams completely dominate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to create a league-wide situation that looks like this on the XY axis. Remember, the offense is on the X horizontally defenses on the Y vertically. The Rams are all the way up here in the upper right. I think the Rams have officially emerged as the only upper right team, at least when it comes to offense and defense of this NFL season. I think people are currently underselling how big of a deal it is that the 49ers split with this Rams team, which is an offense-defense juggernaut. Now, there is an Achilles heel for this Rams team, and it has been special teams, and it's something that the 49ers are actually really, really good at. Fun fact for you, the 49ers lead the league in average starting field position. They've been crushing it on field goals this year. After they cut Jake Moody, they moved to Eddie Pinheiro. Now they're going to be moving to Matt Gay against the Carolina Panthers tonight. They have been covering punts very well. I think the kickoff coverage has been the only weak point of the 49ers special teams. But when you look at this and you look at the Rams and a fairly wide advantage over the rest of the league, all the way up in a tier of their own, you look at the 49ers logo down here, and we know this has been with a backup quarterback for most of the year. I think it's realistic. I've showed you guys before. You see my cursor. It's realistic for the 49ers to get in. To this tier, if they accelerate the offense the way that we think that they're doing already with Brock Purdy, if they can be near the Bills and the Chiefs with what Purdy and this offense is doing, they'll still be below the Rams and maybe teams like the Indianapolis Colts, who, by the way, lost yesterday to the Kansas City Chiefs. But that doesn't include special teams. And special teams might be the ultimate positive differentiator for the 49ers this year. It's one of the most fascinating developments that we have seen so far here in 2025, from worst to first on special teams for San Francisco. Yesterday was such a fascinating day because we just got to sit back and watch. Like, how we don't get to do that very often, right? We're going to get to watch a lot of football on December 28th, but still we'll be preparing for 49ers Bears because that's Sunday night football. On December 22nd, though, the 49ers play another Monday night game against the Colts. So December 21st is going to be all about watching the entire league. And it's so cool to be able to just sit back and hey, see how good of a product the league has made. It's wild just to watch how many close games there were. I know I went up on the roof yesterday and started talking about all that, and just this sensory overload of stuff coming in. But now everybody gets to watch the 49ers tonight. And they are in such prime position right now to go 10-4. I know they're only 7-4 right now, but the spread has already come out for the Cleveland game next week. 49ers are 6.5-point favorites to open that. Now, guys will tell you one at a time, but it also is my job to chart the longer-term strategy. 49ers are 7.5-point favorites tonight. If they take care of business against the Carolina Panthers, who are over here, we've got a worse offense significantly than the 49ers, a little bit better defense than San Francisco, but this is where Carolina's at. They are a full tier lower. They take care of business at home against the Panthers. They play an even worse Cleveland Browns team, but a better defense. That's a danger. I get it that it's a danger in Cleveland, but it's a game that the 49ers are favored in by a touchdown already at this point. Then they get the Tennessee Titans. You have to assume they can win that game. That's the worst team in the league. The next three for the 49ers show an opportunity. Take care of business and you move to 8-4, 9-4, and then 10-4 before Monday Night Football against the Indianapolis Colts. Now, that could all be quickly derailed with a single upset. So it's all on tenuous ground for the 49ers. I'm not acting like it's money in the bank for San Francisco. But the pathway is very, very clear for the 49ers. Also, they don't play great offenses over the course of the next 3 weeks. In fact, if you look at the three opponents and you look at this on the XY or on the X-axis, the horizontal scale, each subsequent opponent has a worse offense. Actually, the Titans are a little bit better than the Browns, but they're still both terrible. Look at the Panthers, below average. Look at the Browns, way below average. They've now moved to Shedeur Sanders, though, so who knows what that does for the team. We'll see. He's probably going to start against the 49ers next week. And then you look at the Tennessee Titans, one of the worst in the league. The Raiders, with their league-worst offense, just fired Chip Kelly, the former 49ers head coach. They're all the way over here. Anyway, you get the point. 49ers don't have a good defense. They're trying to stabilize a little bit defensively One way that you can stabilize is by playing a lot of below average offenses, including two of the worst units in the league. I think it all matches up fairly well for the 49ers. We should talk about tonight's matchup, though. I'm going to be heading down to Levi's Stadium in a few hours. I think that the Panthers are young and getting better offensively. That's one thing that we cannot forget. They only started lining up Teteroa McMillan in the slot the majority of the time last week against Atlanta. He's 6'4". He's a problem. He was the number 8 overall pick in the draft. And I still am not sure how the 49ers are going to strategically decide to cover him, because Upton Stout's only 5'8". So if you're going 5'8 against 6'4 in the slot, that's definitely a matchup advantage for Carolina that can be taken advantage of in this game. Do the 49ers bring safety help? Do they bring D'Amato Lenore inside? I mean, even Lenore, that's the beauty of 6'4 for the Panthers and Teteroa McMillan. There really is no corner, unless you have prime Richard Sherman on your team. There is no corner who's going to be able to man him up and not have a big height disadvantage. So Lenore might be taller than an Upton Stout, but there still would be a height disadvantage there. And if Bryce Young is throwing the football accurately, that's something that Carolina can absolutely take advantage of. I don't think that enough people are talking about the Panthers' run game. Rico Dowdle is having a great season. He was a 1,000-yard guy for the first time last year. He is over 800. He could hit 1,000 tonight. If he does, the 49ers might lose this game if he has a big game on the ground. Now, we know that San Francisco has played good run defense this year. There's been one game where it fell off a cliff, and last year it was nearly the whole season where it fell off a cliff, but there's been one game this year that it didn't do well, and that was against the Rams. That was obviously a juggernaut that the 49ers played. They also didn't have Alfred Collins or Mikel Williams there. Again, that's the Rams over in the upper right. I don't know if Carolina can push the 49ers run defense the same way that the Rams did. Alfred is now back. The 49ers defensive tackles are playing better, but I will not underestimate what Rico Dowdle can bring to this Carolina offense. I mean, they've had some explosions this year. They are not a great offense. They've been very, very inconsistent. But Bryce Young is coming off the career high with 400-plus passing yards. I think it was something like 440, 450 for Bryce Young when they beat the Atlanta Falcons last week. So I'm impressed with Dave Canales, the Carolina head coach. I'm obviously impressed with Teteroa McMillan, Rico Dowdle. Bryce Young had a very rough start to his career, but things seem to be going better. And that 49ers defense, they bled yardage last week, but they were extremely opportunistic. I mean, it was the first game all season where the 49ers really played the turnover battle the way that they need to. They're still -5 in the turnover column. If you talk to Kyle Shanahan, he will tell you that the very biggest thing the 49ers need to do to make some noise in the playoffs is start winning that turnover battle. And I agree with him. And it's the only way that this defense is going to play the type of stabilizing football needs to play. They're not going to stop opposing teams from picking up a lot of yards. They are already down so much elite talent there. But if they can somehow position themselves, and this requires help from the offense and it requires help from special teams, if they can position themselves to pounce on the football at opportune moments like they did against Arizona, the 49ers will be good to go. The 49ers will be set as a team. Because this offense is elite. I think if guys stay healthy, regardless of whether or not you have Brandon Ayuk, that's something that the front office might be forcing without even expecting Brandon Ayuk to oblige, and then that will become a lawyer thing and a money thing if that is indeed the case. So take Brandon Ayuk out of the equation. Talk about Ricky Pearsall, who I think is going to have a big game tonight, by the way. Talk about George Kittle. Talk about Christian McCaffrey, who I think is going to have a big game tonight, by the way. Talk about all those guys and talk about Purdy distributing the football to those guys. This 49ers offense has the ability to continue moving over to the right with its explosive quarterback and all of its weapons. And if that offense hogs the ball, builds leads, allows the defense to set up in pass rushing situations, allows Robert Saleh to call a game downhill instead of uphill, that's when the 49ers defense can start moving its way back up again, despite some of the personnel losses. You've got a young defense, an inexperienced defense at so many of these spots. that has right now, you know, just been playing destabilized football without its leaders, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Mikel Williams had been emerging into a leader of this 49ers defense, setting the edge against the run. Now they've had a chance to work with the guys who they have, give them a chance to play a game downhill, and that's how you can yield like number 20 efficiency out of the defense. I'm not asking for top 5, top 10, top 15 level play, but just keep the bottom from falling out. The offense and the special teams can help that, and that's the goal for the 49ers moving today. Remember, there's going to be a new Mike linebacker starting for San Francisco tonight. It is Curtis Robinson. Kyle Shanahan was doing the NBC interview yesterday, and he said, you know, something really interesting. Last year, Curtis tore his ACL late in September, and he had been informed about 20 minutes prior to suffering that injury at practice that he was going to start at strong side linebacker in place of Demetrius Flanagan Foles. I mean, what a tragedy, right? You're informed that you're going to start after working behind the scenes on the practice squad for the 49ers. I mean, he put in a lot of time behind the scenes. Curtis is a great guy. Informed you're going to start, 20 minutes later, go down in practice with a torn ACL. I mean, just brutal, brutal, brutal stuff. But he worked his ass off. He came back. He had a pick six in the preseason. Everybody in that locker room was so happy for the guy. And now, you know, he gets his opportunity. The events that have led to this opportunity are unfortunate. Fred Warner down at the mic position. Tatum Bethune, high ankle sprain at the mic position. So it goes to Curtis Robinson. But despite how unfortunate the preceding events are, you can only play the cards that you're dealt. And now it's Curtis manning that 49ers defense from the middle. They've obviously needed to improve a lot on this defense, but I think the back seven especially, and the middle of that back seven, so the middle linebacker positions, the weak side position, and then the two safety spots, the play there has missed too much. There's been too much meat on the bone left. And I'm going to watch the 49ers safety rotations with great, great interest through the rest of this journey because they've already shuffled them so much, right? You started with Marquise Siegel and Jason Pinnock, and then you integrated Jair Brown into a big nickel spot. You eventually benched both Marquise Siegel and Jason Pinnock because Malik Mustafa came back and you decided to go with Mustafa and Jair Brown. So you have two totally different starting safeties than the beginning of the year. Pinnock has started to play some of that big slot nickel safety position, which you know you might use instead of the nickel back, the smaller Upton Stout, to give the 49ers some more size. Either way, with all that movement, you know, it's safe to say that that position is not a talent strength for the 49ers at this point. I'm not sure if Malik is, you know, fully up to confidence to where he was as such a great rookie for the 49ers in 2024. It's been a work in progress for sure for the 49ers, but they need to get that middle solidified to at least keep plays in front of them, not only in the pass game, but with better tackling in the open field. And all of that can add up to building the dam and building more opportunities for those takeaways for Robert Saleh. You have to establish a defensive floor, and then you could pounce from that defensive floor. If there's not a floor there, then you get 2024, where they rank number 29 against the run. This year, they're number 11 against the run. That includes the disaster of the performance against the Rams. So they've fixed a lot already to give themselves a fighting chance in these games to control some of the game flow, but they have to continue getting better over the back half of this season. All right, I'm going to answer some questions, and then I got to go get some breakfast. Then I'm going to come on Cron 4 News. I think I'm going to be live here in the Bay Area. So I'm excited for all that. Lombardi herself is boarding her flight. That's an update for you guys. She was going to Nashville for Thanksgiving. I'm here covering the 49ers, but she's boarding her flight. She made it to the airport safely. Big 49ers update. Not really, but I'm ready to answer some questions. What is the trade value if he plays or doesn't play? Well, and that's another reason that the 49ers are incentivized to force the Brandon Ayuk issue. You know, worst case scenario, he he's cleared but doesn't play, in which case you get some money back just by definition of contracts and how they work. If he does play, he can help your trade case. I think one of the biggest problems is that the guy tore three ligaments and there's not a trade market for somebody coming off of three ligaments and not having demonstrated his return to gameplay right now. So, you know, back to the contract right here. If there's a trade of Brandon Ayuk, another team would inherit whatever's remaining on the contract. So 2026, 2027, 2028. The guarantees are no longer there in 2026, so that makes the contract more tradable. If a team does not want to pay that level of money to Brandon Ayuk, then what you would have is a renegotiation, but he would have to be okay with who he's traded to. So he still has some leverage in that regard. But you could see that the compensation totaled up for these seasons. I know that sometimes it could be hard to decipher through these things. It's about that 27, 28 million per year. I think it goes up to 30 million per year. Yeah, with a higher base salary here in 2028. So I think Ayuk would have to play and show that he's still a good receiver, show that he's actually willing to even report and play for a team to even think about trading for the final 3 years of that contract. Question, if he gives up $27 million, is it really likely to repair that relationship? I don't think anybody's talking about whether it's likely to repair the relationship or not. Like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. All I'm saying is that the 49ers are incentivized to force the issue. I've been saying that here for a couple days now. And then you had Jay Glazer and Mike Garofalo come out and essentially say that the ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court. Glazer said it in no uncertain terms. 49ers should see which way this goes. Again, Ayuk has to be cleared, but if and when he is cleared, open up his practice window. That's what I would recommend. Open up his practice window. And if he reports, great. You've got a hardworking receiver coming back who was amazing for you in 2023 and before then, and you move on with another weapon. If he doesn't practice, if he refuses to play, then you start getting some more salary cap space back. Because in these contracts, it is written, like, yeah, even if an option bonus has been paid out, which it was for Brandon Ayuk, I think on September 1st of this year was the deadline. But even if it's paid out, if he doesn't live up to the contract, if he doesn't play when he's healthy enough to play, then that money comes back to the team. That's just like any contract in any sport or essentially in any job. If you don't do the work, you don't get the money. So why would the 49ers just sit on their hands and not do anything here? They need to force some action, and I think that's what we've been seeing over the course of the past few days. If, you know, it seems just reading the room, right? Reading the room, collecting tea leaves, seeing that Brandon Ayuk has not been sprinting off on that practice field here over the course of the past couple months, it seems more likely than not that he wouldn't show up to some of these practices. But I don't want to judge until I actually see it. I think the 49ers want to put the ball in his court and then react accordingly. But either path of action moving forward, if they do force the issue, will theoretically benefit the 49ers, especially now that they've removed the $27 million in guarantees for next year. It's more of a week-to-week contract now for the 49ers and for Brandon Ayuk. The massive swing tonight is if the 49ers win, 89% playoffs. The 49ers lose, 62% playoff probability. I agree with this. Brandon Ayuk is a really good player. He's a really, really good player. He blocks for his teammates down the field. He's a great route runner. He lit the world on fire with efficiency in 2023. We should not undersell how good Brandon Ayuk was, especially that year. I try to play this right down the middle. I try to be as unbiased as possible. And I do not think that Brandon Ayuk behaved gracefully over the 2024 contract negotiation. I think it upset a lot of people with the 49ers. I think that he didn't handle his business the way that I would handle my business. I don't think he handled his business the way Nick Bosa did, not even the way Deebo Samuel did. All that can be true, but the guy also, the last time that we saw him on the field before that contract was an absolute stud. I mean, that 2023 season, there's a reason why the 49ers were willing to pay up to $120 million. There's a reason why they drug it out through those negotiations, and they're so close to trading him a couple times, but they ultimately didn't, because Brandon Ayuk was irreplaceable, was really important to the football team. You saw them drop all the way down to number 32 in average separation last year. So the guy could flat out play. I can't say can flat out play because I don't know where he's at physically now exactly, but he could flat out play. He deserves that respect, the acknowledgement of that. But the 49ers have deserved a lot more respect from Brandon Ayuk in return when it comes to the contractual process over the course of over the last 2 years, right? It's been 15 months since he did finally sign that deal. And the fact that the drama didn't end even after he signed the deal that he wanted, $30 million a year with the 49ers, guarantees practically heading into year three, which would have been voided. But the fact that the drama didn't end even after that is not professional. And it's got to be exasperating to the 49ers, and they've got to protect the team and they've got to protect the business. And that's what we've seen. Now, you know, they're acting like grownups in this situation. They're enforcing stipulations of the contract. Now we'll see how Brandon Ayuk responds. And I think it's as simple as that. Yes, exactly. They voided guarantees in 2026, not the contract itself. Now, this could escalate. In the event that what Jay Glazer is saying is true, and I think Jay is as plugged in as anybody, if the ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court, which I think we've deduced over the past few days as we're trying to solve this puzzle of what's going on, as we're being slow-fed information, it's like a slow drip. We've deduced the ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court. If the 49ers do force the issue, as it seems like they are headed toward doing based on their actions, and Brandon Ayuk does not oblige them, then you could start talking about voiding even more than the guarantees. Then you start voiding payments from 2025. Then you start talking about voiding the contract itself. So this, you know, it's already unprecedented territory because of the voided guarantees. This can move further into unprecedented territory based on Brandon Ayuk and his action or his inaction moving forward. What is the percent chance to win when the 49ers score 30 plus points? I mean, very high. If you score 30 plus in the NFL, I think you're going to be winning 85 to 90% of games. It's hard to score 30 in the NFL. I can't give you an exact number. I'll have to do that research, but I would say that it's at least 85%. No one said anything for 4 months. There was a reason. Yeah, I think the reason is because they're trying to force the issue now. They weren't trying to force the issue before Ayuk was cleared to play. But I think he might be getting close to being cleared. Well, I mean, they kept on saying closer and closer over the past few weeks. Then they said it plateaued. That might be a translation for Brandon Ayuk was not cooperative anymore over the past few weeks. That's me speculating. Improvement, plateau. Maybe they weren't talking about knee improvement. Maybe they were talking about the attitude of the wide receiver and how he was approaching this and if he was willing to go out there and play. Speculation. But I think that I'm decently good at reading the tea leaves in these situations. And I do think that the 49ers will try to force this issue. But we're going to focus on the Carolina Panthers right now. 49ers play the Panthers tonight. San Francisco, 7.5-point favorites, a chance to move to 8-4. The CMC revenge game against the team that traded him. I'm very much looking forward to Monday Night Football. So I wanted to give you guys the latest Brandon Ayuk update. Maybe we'll have another one tomorrow. We'll talk to Kyle Shanahan after the game tonight. And then obviously on the day after phone call tomorrow, and then there's going to be a practice week and there's Thanksgiving this week. All fascinating stuff coming up. 49ers will open that Brandon Ayuk practice window. That's the question. Will they open that Brandon Ayuk practice window? I'm not saying they will. I'm asking the question, is that going to happen this week? Might it happen next week? I don't know, but I do sense that the 49ers are close to truly putting the ball in Brandon Ayuk's court. For now, I want to focus on Monday Night Football. 49ers, Panthers, let's buckle up. I'll be headed down to Levi's in a little bit. We'll see you down there, and then obviously subscribe, tune in. We're going to be live right after the game from the Levi's Stadium engineering room. Everybody, take care. Have a great Monday. Buckle up. It's about to get fun.